It's for a total of 4 weeks that I'll be preaching on a few principles that I think worship teaches us. And it's not just the things that we do when we're in worship together, but identifying some deeper principles that we exercise when we are here in the practice of gathering for worship. And they're principles that serve us throughout our entire lives. We are, in fact, as I've said, I believe we are made for worship, that somehow our spirits naturally respond with joy or gratitude in the presence of the holy, and we also naturally desire to be with others in that experience. Whatever the tradition, worship is not just our personal response, but it's our corporate response to what is holy. And I believe we're made to worship, and therefore what we practice in worship is in fact meant for our daily lives. We remind people weekly that we want you to be your authentic self when you're here. The person you are outside of this building is the person we want when we gather here. Likewise, we're trying to remind you, at least in this series, and hopefully beyond, that the person you practice being here is supposed to be the person you are outside as well. So what happens here is supposed to leak out and spill over into the rest of your week, the rest of your life. And if that doesn't happen, what we do for about an hour on Sunday is kind of pointless. So we're practicing reversing the words of our Sunday morning welcome. Who we practice being inside these walls and doors is who we want to be outside these walls and doors. So I've picked four practices, four things that I think worship teaches us for life. And no doubt there are many, many more, but I'm starting and ending with four. And the first one, if you recall, the first lesson was to prioritize. That is, decide who and what is most important and when. And that is something that we will all need to know. Oh, look at that. All three of them up there together. There you go. Oh, I wanted to unveil. There you have it. The second one, show up. We can decide something is important in our heads. We might make it a priority and then not do anything about it at all. Show up is bringing ourselves fully, our presence, our body, our mind, our spirit, our attention. Showing up is following up on the intention. And the third lesson, which is taking the next step beyond showing up, a step deeper than showing up, it is to connect. We've prioritized, we've shown up, and the next step is to connect. So I'm going to conduct an experiment, and I need a handful of volunteers. So the only requirement for a volunteer is that you're able to throw and catch. So that will eliminate some of us in this room. But so what I'd like is about, six or eight people to join me up here at the front. Six or eight people who can comfortably throw a catch. Yay, excellent. We've got two, a third. Come on, we need a few more. Good, excellent. All right. So we're going to kind of make, not necessarily a perfect circle, but kind of spread out in a circle-ish pattern. You can move into the aisles as well. We need a couple more, a couple over here just to stand up. Thank you, Jerry. Are you good? You can stay where you are. Can you catch? Can you catch? Jerry, you can stay there.
Oh, okay. So,
there you go. Good. And I might recruit Mimi from where she is. No, stay standing. Perfect. Perfect. Look at that. It's almost a circle. Almost. Excellent. Okay. So the experiment is this. We'll see how it works. I'm going to throw the yarn to one person as I or we name something that we do in worship. And then that person is going to hold on to it and then throw it to another person, not in line across. Throw it to another person. When we name something that we do in worship together. But you hold on to it. You hold on to it when you get it, and then you throw it. Okay? Make sense? Okay. This is an experiment. It could go very, very badly. That's why I picked yarn and not buzzsaws.
We pray together. Hold on to your end. Hold on. Yes.
God.
Praise God. Good. Hold on and throw. Something we do in worship together. I heard someone say sing. That's a good one.
We give.
Good. Hold on and throw. You let go. Hold on. Jerry. Hold on to the screen. Something else we do, Rose. Praise God and worship together. Good. Hold on to them and throw. Hold on to the string and throw the ball.
Preach.
We preach. Some of us occasionally do. Excellent.
We create our own web. If our worship is nothing else, it in some ways reminds us of those invisible connections that are made visible in our time together. Worship is the practice of connecting. It invites us to take a step beyond just showing up. Because, you know, if we really show up with our full selves, we're poised, we're ready to connect. You know, Christy was the most ready. She was really getting ready to throw that connection. She had shown up. She knows how to throw and catch. Okay. We become aware that there's something that we share. We are aware of our relatedness, that there's something that links us together. Now, I will hasten to add, different people and different personalities do seem to connect more easily with others than some. Those who are painfully shy, those who are socially awkward, often find it difficult to connect, at least in ways that are visible. And it's not that such folks don't like other people or don't want to connect, but they connect in less obvious or overt ways. I find that people are often surprised when I tell them that I am rather deeply introverted as a person, because I can stand up in front of a group and talk perhaps incessantly sometimes. Or that I easily welcome and am friendly towards people. But I am, in fact, quite deeply introverted, which is one of the reasons why I need my Sunday afternoon nap. After sharing a lovely morning with everyone, I'm just wrung out, and I need to take a little nap, which was one of the big signs that I was an introvert. It doesn't stop me from connecting with people. It just means that I connect perhaps differently, and the energy of that connection feels different. Connecting isn't just about being friendly, isn't just about extending a warm welcome, although that is exceedingly important. It's about being open, open to touch the lives of others and being touched by their lives, and having our own life, our own heart, touched by others. I actually believe authentic connection is what people are trying to talk about when they use the word spirituality. When they say spirituality, I think that they're saying that they sense a link to someone or something, whether it's named or unnamed, a link within and beyond one's self. I also sincerely believe that connection is what religion is all about when it's doing what it's supposed to do. Not just spirituality, but religion itself. Religion's shared language, its stories, its patterns don't exist for their own sake. They're meant to establish and cultivate connection. Connection with God, connection with others. Consider the word religion. We get our English word from a Latin word, religio, and it's a compound word of an older Latin word, older Latin origin, re ligare. And ligare means bind, the word from which we get ligature and ligament. Religion is religare. It literally means to rebind, to refasten, to reconnect to God, reconnect to others. So any religion or spiritual practice that does not pass the connection test fails. We are here to practice connecting. That excerpt of scripture that we hear from Ephesians actually uses the word ligament. Elsewhere, the Apostle Paul writes so beautifully and at length using this image of how we are all part of a body, a spiritual body that has diverse but mutually reinforcing and complementary parts. Here it is, the connections themselves, the ligaments that join together and knit the body parts together are what's named. The ligaments that allow your body to move in a way that is free and coordinated at the same time. It's the connection that makes it alive and effective. And connecting is not just a religious goal, it is life's goal. How often, how many hours, days, even years, have you wandered feeling disconnected? We yearn for connection, but don't we often avoid it or withdraw from it? Let's face it, living a connected life isn't the promise of an easy life. Disconnection can be a little less painful, because I don't want to feel my own pains, let alone feel the pains of others. Maybe it's easier. I don't want to feel the responsibility to feel the tug of that string from the other end, pulling at me. But if I opt out of connecting, I opt out of sharing life with others. Connecting is opening to allow our lives to touch others and the lives of others to touch us. To weep with those who weep, to rejoice with those who rejoice, is to be connected. In the end, don't we want to live a connected life? To know that we're not alone, to follow our hearts yearn to feel and touch and know one another. John Donne, famous English poet, wrote a poem, a short poem that is still well known to us today in the 17th century. His language from then may not be the language we would use now, but the poem is recognizable to us. No man is an island, entire of itself, each one a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or thine own were. Any one's death diminishes me because I am involved in humankind. Therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. No one is an island. We want to connect. I want to be reminded of the ligaments that bind me to you. I want to hear the story that reminds me that I belong to you and that you belong to me. I want to pray the prayer that reminds me of my connection to the person on the other side of the city and the other side of the world whose name I will never know. But the prayer connects us. I want to know compassion's gift, that a burden shared is a burden halved, and a joy shared is a joy doubled. When you are here, you practice connecting from the moment you say hello to someone, to the time you spend sharing a cup of coffee and a bagel with others downstairs, to the songs that we sing, which may not be our words, but the words of others, our voices vibrate together, connected. The readings, ancient readings, that have inspired millions across the centuries, new readings that tell us the Spirit still speaks and inspires. Prayers that we pray to connect us to those we know and those we will never know. Communion, bread and cup that has been shared around the world and across the millennia with the great cloud of witnesses alive and dead and yet to come, connects us. What we do here and now is good practice. You decided it was important enough to come here, and you chose to show up, to be here and now, to be present to these people and the presence of God, and to practice connecting with God and with them. That is very good practice. Keep it up. We learn small and big things when we worship together. And it's not just for an hour on Sunday morning. It's what we're learning for life.